Okay, we're up to Perek Hay in the Masilsha Shorim. The Bir Matside has the heroes, Bar Chokka Mehem. This Perek is going to explain the things that either totally, the way Rabbi Cheskel Sarna learns, things that either totally negate being careful in Avodas Hashem, or at least make it difficult, and how to distance yourself from these negative things. The things that either totally negate Zahiris or distance you from it, either temporarily or somewhat, Haim Shlosha, the three basic things that go against Zahiris. Ho'echad hu'atipul v'hatirda ha'olamis. The first one is that a person is too busy to think and to consider what he's doing. Hasheni haschok v'halotzom. The second thing is that even a person has time to think, he's not interested in thinking because he everything he takes lightly and cynically and doesn't see things in the proper perspective. So either you don't have time to see things, or you don't see them in the proper perspective. Hashlishi hachevra haroa. And the third is that even if you have time and you have the right outlook, you could be influenced by a bad environment, and that can take away the ability to take Yiddishkeit seriously because of bad influences. And now he's going to discuss them one by one. Hinei hatipul v'hatrod hatirda kvar dibarnu mehem lamala. When he introduced the midah of Zahiris, so he explained that a good portion of not being careful is because people are too busy to think. Ki biyosa adam torad binyani olamo. Person gets so involved in the day-to-day things of life, hinei machshavosav asuros bezike hamas asher aleihem. His mind becomes tied tied up with all of the day-to-day load of work and things that have to be done, and it pretty much ties up his mind from being able to think into anything more serious. And therefore people can't really pay attention to what they're doing, important things, because they're so much involved and weighted down by the day-to-day gashmiistic of things that people have to take care of. The trivial things of life, which are important also, but they're not as important as what's going to affect a person eternally. The Chachamim, realizing this, gave advice that a person should try to minimize as much as possible all of his other mundane pursuits and pursue Torah. Ki neha esik muchrachu la'adam etzar parnasa. A person can't not be involved in the trivial and mundane things of life because you have to make a living. And you have to be involved in mundane things because we are mundane people. Ach ribui ha'esik enu muchrach shia kol kach gadol ad shelo yoniach lo mokum el avodasa. But you don't have to get overly involved. Right, there is a certain level of involvement that's necessary, and then there's what's beyond the necessary. Therefore, a person has to set times for Torah where he's not involved in the mundane pursuits, and he sets aside time for being involved in Torah. And this is the main ingredient in reaching the ability to be careful in what you do, k'maymer pinchas Torah meviel idei zehirus. That Torah, learning Torah, brings a person to zehirus. Without learning Torah, you're not going to be able to be careful in what you do, for many reasons which we'll get to. The zulas ol yagia elof klal. The huma sha'amru chazal lo ham aretz chasid. And ham aretz can't be a chasid. We'll see in 1 second, we're not talking about chasidus, we're talking about zehirus, which is yiras chet. And an ham aretz can be a yiras chet. A boor can't be a yiras chet. We'll get to that also. In any case, let's one thing at a time. First of all, Rabbi Yecheskel Sarna here on the bottom in his Ha'aris says an interesting thing. He says that the inyan of Kvias Itim LaTorah has two purposes. One is to set aside time for learning Torah. But it also means that you set aside time that you're not osik in your business, meaning that you set times when you are osik in the other things. It's not open-ended. In order to be koveya itim laTorah, by necessity, you have to be koveya itim to the things that aren't Torah. You have to designate time when you're involved in your mundane pursuits, and you stick to those times. Therefore, you leave time when you can be osik in other things. So it's not just making time for Torah, because you can make all the times for Torah, but if you don't have any set time for the other things, they're going to swallow up the time that you have for Torah. So one of the main things is that a person should have a schedule that he is osik in the things that he has to at certain times, and he knows that he doesn't have to be osik unless there's an emergency at other times. These are the times he set aside for his job, for his for the things he has to take care of on a daily basis, and beyond those times, unless it's an emergency, he doesn't get involved. It says that one of the first things that Moshe Rabbeinu did in the Midbar was set times, meal times. That before that, the Jews in Egypt were like chickens. That chickens eat all the time. They have no meal time. They're always pecking around at the ground for what's it called. If you don't have any set time to eat, then you're always eating. If you have a set time to eat, then you have times that you're not involved in eating. If you have a set time to work, you have times that you're not involved in working. But if you don't have set times, it's open-ended, then you never have time that you're not involved in that, and then you can't set times for other things, because those things take up all your time. So the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did was to set a schedule for Klal Yisrael. These are the times to eat, morning, afternoon, evening, and the rest of the times you're not eating, so you have time for other things. The rest of the time you're not working, you have time for other things. Then you can have koveya itim laTorah. When you have time free that you're not doing other things, then you can be doing Torah. But if you're always doing something, there's no set time, then there's no way of being koveya itim laTorah either. Inevitably, right, you're not going to be able to set times for learning either. So that's one thing that he points out.
There must be a machlokus to some extent, because a lot of others say that if you set aside a time, there's something dafka, not for Torah, that's key to Var Shambaza. Either you have time set aside for Torah, and the other time is to do whatever's needed. It could be one way or the other way. But if you could set aside time specifically not for Torah, that's key to Var Shambaza.
It's not time specifically not for Torah. It's times that you need to take care of Hanegi Moim Minig Derech Eretz. You have times when you have to be involved in other things. I don't know of anybody who holds that that's called Dvar Hashem Boza. I don't know of such a thing. That's a person, it's Hanegi Moy, Minig Derech Eretz. There's a Minig Derech Eretz, and if a person doesn't set times for eating, right, setting time for eating, not for Torah, is Dvar Hashem Boza, then what the Medrash says doesn't make sense. Moshe Rabbeinu set times to eat. So the time to eat, that's not for Torah, that's for eating. And it's not Dvar Hashem Boza.
So it's Derech Eretz of eating. That's not really so much of the learning. Tomorrow says, it's the proper Derech Eretz to eat at set times.
Fine. So there's also Derech Eretz to work at set times when you have to earn a living. Right? If you leave it open-ended, you'll never finish and you won't be successful either. So you don't have times that are opportune to work. Right? And Mamela, times that you're not working. Then you'll never learn. So setting time specifically to be involved in Parnas is no different than setting time specifically to eat or anything else that you have set times. Or set times to sleep You have a set time to sleep. That's Tvarish and Bosa.
The difference, what I hear the verse saying, what I'm saying is not, it's not that the thing should be open-ended. But there's a difference between setting aside time that's specifically for the making of Parnassa, or a time that's specifically not for making Parnassa. Meaning you make the times other, sometimes, you know, you limit it to a certain amount of time, but to set aside that particular time for that as opposed to learning, that's the problem.
I don't see it. There's times people have to work, right? You have to set a certain time when you can work. You can't just leave it open-ended whenever I can have a chance to work, right? If you're working for somebody, you have to set a time from 9 to 5 to work, right? That's not Dvar Hashem Bosa. That's because that's the time that you can earn a living. So you set that time for working, right? If you'll be lucky, and if it means that I'm not going to ever learn in that time, that's Dvar Hashem Bosa. But if I have a lunch break when I can learn, right, even though this is the time of working, but if I can steal away a few seconds for learning, then fine. But if I say, no, this is my time for working and I'm not going to learn during that time, then it's Marish and Baza. But that's absurd. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. Okay, so there's no machlokas over here. It's just that there has to be set times for things that you're doing that you have to do. And if you don't set times, then there's all the time. And if you have set times, then it's those times. And not other times. You have set times, I'm not going to learn now. Right? Now I'm only going to do something else. That's ridiculous. But these are the times I work. If there's a vacation day, then I'll learn during that time. Right? I'm not going to say, well, 9 to 5 every day is not learning time. No, it's working time. If it's not working time, then I can learn it. Okay. I don't see any machlokas. But this cloud that you have to make time, set times for the things that you have to do, and not just leave it open-ended, that's what the Chesel Sar is talking about. And if you don't do that, then you can't be Koveitim LaTorah, because there's no other item. You're constantly involved in everything, because you have no schedule. You have to have a schedule. That's what he says. Okay. Now he says, and that's what Chazal say, Lo Am Ha'aretz Chosid. Without Torah, a person can't come to Zahiris. And then he's Elo Ama Oretz Chosid. So explain Lechora, Zahiris is more. The Mishnah Perkava says Lo Ama Oretz Chosid, the Lo Bur Yurechet. An Ama Oretz is a person who has Midos Tovos. It just doesn't have Torah, and he could have Yurashet. He could be what's it called a God fearing person, but he can't be a Chosid without Torah. You can't know how to go beyond the letter of the law because you're going to distort things. So you can keep to the letter of the law, have Yiras Chet, and not be a Talmud Chacham necessarily. But you can't be a Chosid. But a Boor is a person who's totally, no Midos Tovos, no nothing. He can't even be a Yiras Chet. So what in the world does not learning Torah have to do with not being a Zihirus? Because Lo Am Ha'aretz Chosid, the two don't seem to go together. A person who doesn't learn Torah can be a Zohir, that's more Yirashet, than Chasidus. So the way I understand it is the following. That the following is like this. That Zahiris is more than just being a Yirashet. Yirashet means that you're afraid to do things that are wrong, and what's obviously wrong, and you always want to do what's right. That even an Am Ha'aretz can do. But Zahiris is beyond just not doing what's wrong. It's having the understanding of what is wrong and what's right. And being shokel, even the right things, that maybe there's parts of them that are wrong. So Yiras Chet is to be careful from the things that are obvious. Obviously wrong, obviously right. I do what's obviously right. I stay away from what's obviously wrong. But Zahiris is going one step beyond that. That's the basics for anybody, to be a Yirechet. But Zahiris is not only that I stay away from what's obviously wrong, but I take the time to think of what things maybe aren't obviously wrong and tak are wrong. Or what things are obviously right, but not every part of them that I'm doing it, the way I'm doing it is right. Maybe in the right things that I'm doing and the good things I'm doing, maybe there are parts that need to be corrected or enhanced or improved or whatever. So that already is more chasidus than yiraschet. So Torah mevi'ali de zehirus. Without Torah, you could have yiraschet. You could be a person who stays away from the obvious bad things and does the obvious good things. But without Torah, you can't have zehirus. Zehirus is more noted towards chasidus, where you're not just doing what's obvious, but you're doing what's an enhancement of the obvious. That's zehirus. Right? It's going the one step beyond what is the basic. And that's already chasidus. Chasidus is where you go beyond the basics. So without Torah, you can't have zehirus, even though without Torah, you can have yiraschet. Okay. Bezehu, ki habora yisbora shemosha bora hayetzahara ba'adam, hu shebora ha-Torah tavlin lo. The same Rabbeinu Shem who created the Yetzirhara created the Torah to be a tavlin. A tavlin does not mean an antidote. A tavlin is a spice. In other words, the Torah does not destroy the Yetzirhara, but it channels it. We'll see in many ways. The Torah takes the Yetzirhara and makes it into something tasty, something good, something positive, not something negative. Kamosha Omru Chazal, Borosi Yetzirhara, Borosi Lo Torah, Tavlin. The Ine Pashatu, She'im HaBore Lo Bore Lamaka Zu, Ela Refua Zu. If the Rabbeinu Shlom himself tells you, I created the Yetzirhara, and I created that which can help you use the Yetzirhara properly and negate its negative powers. And I'm telling you, it's this thing, right? If this is the only medicine that will effectively control the Yetzer Hara, and God himself said, look, I created the Yetzer Hara, I know what will control it. And the only thing is Torah. I created Torah specifically to be a trufa or a tavlin for the Yetzer Hara. Then if the Rabbeinu Shem who created both of them tells you this is it, then there's no other way. So a person who thinks he's going to control his Yetzer Hara with something else besides Torah has to be making a tremendous mistake, because he doesn't know better than God who created both of them and said that these were created, one to take care of the other, and there's nothing else that I created for that.
Does that mean that Goy, he's Yetzer Hara quantity control? I mean, Goy, he's because he's not Torah, he's...
It's a good question. I got to think about it. Or they ask by women, don't have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Woman conceivably doesn't have to learn Torah. So she doesn't have this tavlin to the Yetzer Hara. So by women they say, I don't know if we're skipping ahead, but because there's two kinds of tavlin that the Torah gives. But the one of them is a segula. Right, it's not a good word to use here. Is not a logical effect. It's more of a esoteric effect. So that not logical effect can be had in ways that also are not logical. So a woman who causes her husband and children to learn Torah, even though she doesn't learn herself, will have the same effect, school effect of the Torah on her Yetzer Hara, even though she's not learning Torah. But since her affecting somebody else learning Torah, it's like her learning, it'll affect her the same way. Right? Others say that a woman's tznius has the same effect on the Yetzer Hara that a man's learning Torah. How that works, according to the Mesillas Yesharim, doesn't make sense. Because the Rabbeinu Shlom said, Barasi Torah Tavlin, doesn't say Barasi tznius Tavlin. So how could there be another thing? If there is something else, then maybe there could be something else too. That we'll have to discuss. That's not for now. What? No, but that's not what it says. It doesn't say mitzvahs or a tavlin. The Rashi Torah means Talmud Torah. Because otherwise it wouldn't be any question. Women have mitzvahs too. Right? Don't have to have come down to tzias. They have other mitzvahs. It's not mitzvahs. It's Talmud Torah. The question is, women don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah. So what? So the tzias takes the place of Talmud Torah, but how can it? Then there's something else besides Torah. So therefore, a goy, l'chora, doesn't have any of these things. So how is a goy supposed to control his Yetzer Hara? And he does get schar and onish, so he must be able to control his Yetzer Hara somehow. It's an excellent question. We'll get to it. But, In any case, I have an answer, but you need a lot more to understand before we get to what exactly it means here. Umishi yachshov, she linotzel zulasa, anyone who thinks that they can be saved from the Yetzer Hara in another way besides Torah, einu ela Torah. He's making a mistake. Because God said that that's not the case. I created the Yetzer Hara, I created Torah Tavlet. So if you want to avoid the Yetzer Hara, you're going to have Torah, because that's the way I created it. So somebody who thinks he can do it a different way, right, is absurd. Right? We always say, like, the Torah is the owner's manual, the designer's manual to the world. God tells you, look, this is how I designed the world, right? Yeah, it's like a car. I designed the car to run on gasoline. Somebody who says, well, I can make the car run something else, right? I'll put alcohol, it's much cheaper. Put alcohol in the gas tank. It's not going to go. The designer told you he designed it to work on gasoline. The motor won't run on alcohol. So you can think all you want, but you didn't design the car. And if the designer says, this is what I designed it to be, it has to be that way. So if the designer said, I created the Yetzer Hara, and the antidote to the Yetzer Hara is Torah, then that's the only thing it can be. There's no other possibility. That's what he's saying. The year at Ta'usul of Esau, Kishiyomus Becheto. And he'll see that he's making a mistake, because in the end, he's going to die with the chait, and it's not going to, the other methods aren't going to be successful. Because the Rabban Shom said, this is what is effective against Yetzer Hara, nothing else. Okay, the next part we'll save for next week because it's, but these are what you have to think about. First of all, how does it work? How does Torah, is it just a skula? There's no logic to it. It's just that the Yetzer Hara has something that that dissolves it, negates it, and that's called Talmud Torah. And that doesn't make a difference what Torah you're learning. You could learn something that has nothing to do with the chatoyim you're doing, nothing to do with the Yetzer Hara, nothing to do with Islam. You're learning about, what's it called, Arba Ovos Nezikim, a Gemara that has nothing to do, or Kodshim, or whatever, nothing to do with sin. Yivamas. Yeah. Right? You learn any of these things, and it'll go against the Yetzer Hara. Or no, there is a logic to it. Somehow learning Torah has an effect on your Yetzer Hara because of X, Y, and Z that makes sense. We'll see that it's both. Both things. Okay? And the second, third thing is, okay, so the Torah has an effect on the Yetzer Hara. Depending how it works, what's the effect? How does it help you to control the Yetzer Hara? If it's only a skula, so it's something that negates the Yetzer Hara beyond logic. But if it's a logical thing, then how does it work logically? Then what do you have to learn? Okay? And then, those people that don't have Torah, which is Yosef's question, so how do they get those benefits? Do they have those benefits? Or then do they have a way to ever control the Yetzer Hara? If they don't, then why should they be punished for what they do wrong? Then they were never given the ability to, or maybe a goy has Torah that he can also do, and also learn. Right, so that's a possibility. Maybe there is a goy's Torah too, and that Torah affects his Yetzer Hara, which we'll see is not so far-fetched. Right, so that's a Mirza Hashem we'll speak about next week. Okay. Yeah.
You know, women get these benefits from learning the parts of the Torah that she has to learn. She has to learn certain things from life for herself.
Tune in next week. The same way that we'll explain whether a goy can get it, even though he doesn't have a mitzvah talmud Torah. So a woman who doesn't have a mitzvah talmud Torah, but she's not a goy, she's one step up, and I will see if she can get it through talmud Torah too. That's part of what we'll speak about next week. How it works. We know how it works. We'll know who it works by and what kind of Torah it works by. What? Could be. Could be that that's also called Torah, that there's Torah of Sheva Mitznei Noah. What? Tune in next week.